This one had already stretched my mind by presenting a strange new concept and dimension hitherto unknown to me. Chapter 8, imprinting. This talk of other dimensions was confusing to me and made questioning difficult. I hoped for a reprieve, a time to gather my thoughts, by directing him back to earthly lives. The rye would be once again on familiar ground. But I was to find that now that the door had been opened to other worlds and strange existences, we would not be able to cross back to the mundane and safe familiar world. The reason was the most startling I had ever encountered and temporarily shook my foundations and beliefs in what I was doing. Maybe it is true that nothing really is as it appears. D. Have you had very many lives on this planet Earth? P. This is my first physical life, my first true incarnation on this planet. I have had imprints from many others and been assistant to others. However, this is my first true physical incarnation on Earth. Wait a minute. What did he mean? Earlier he had said that he was new to this earthly realm, that he was more familiar with the area of other planets and other dimensions. But how could this be his first life on Earth? This was confusing because when we first began working together we had touched on about four other lives that had definitely taken place on this planet. What was going on during those earlier sessions? D. Then the other Nsway discussed were not real? P. They were imprints and assistances, they were not true physical incarnations. 69, 70, the keepers of the garden. This really threw me. I had never heard of an imprint. In my work with regressions, either you lived a life or you didn't. The only other alternative is that the subject was fantasizing or imagining the whole thing. I have always prided myself on being able to tell the difference. In everything I have read about possible explanations for the memories of other lives, I had never heard of anything called imprinting. Phil was throwing me a whole new ball game, but I reminded myself, I must remember that I was not working with the common Earth-oriented energy. I was confused. If a life is not considered to be a true physical incarnation, how would I ever know what I was dealing with? D. Do you mean that some souls, when they come into a life, rather than having lived these exact past life experiences, they take P. They can withdraw information from the Akashic records and imprint this information into their soul, and it will then be their experience. Other researchers have said that the Akashic records contain no mention of time, only the record of events, emotions and the lessons learned. D. Well. Can you tell me how can I tell the difference when I do work like this? P. No, because even I can't tell the difference. If I am in an imprint, that imprint is as real as if I had actually experienced it. All the emotions, the memories, the feelings, virtually everything about that life is in that imprint. So from my point of view I would be unable to tell because I would be completely absorbed in the experience. This is the whole idea of imprint. This is the ability to live thousands, hundreds of thousands of years on a planet and actually never to have been there before. D. What would be the reason? P. If one were to come to this planet from another planet or dimension without the aid of imprints, one would be totally lost. One would not understand customs, religions, politics, or how to act in a social environment. This is the necessity for imprint. In the case of star people coming to this planet, there is no previous earthly experience of human existence in their subconscious. In order for this person to feel comfortable and at ease, there must be something with which to draw on and compare those data, imprinting, 71, day experiences which one is encountering. For if this were not so, the feeling of total out of harmony would be virtually present every single day, until there arose the time when one could look back and see some semblance of history. That is in the later part of life. However, the confusion and disharmony from having to experience this would negate any learning, for always there would be the disharmony, which all learning would have to filter through. All learning would be colored with this disharmony and would be, in effect, no learning at all. So there must be this imprinting to allow the vehicle to feel comfortable in his new surroundings and in those experiences which would be totally alien. For even such simple things as an argument would become so terrifying to the vehicle as to render him totally void. The star people have no experience with anger or fear, as you know it would incapacitate them. It would paralyze them. They would be totally traumatized. Many people believe that all this is conditioned by the environment anyway. That a baby's mind is totally fresh and all information is learned and absorbed as it grows and lives its life. Apparently, we rely more on our subconscious memories than we realize. It seems to be like a computer bank from which we constantly draw comparisons in our daily lives. According to this new idea, an alien coming for the first time into an earthly body and facing a strange new culture must have something in their past memories to orient themselves and give them something to relate to. This whole idea was startling to me and opened up an entirely new way of thinking. It could change my whole outlook on reincarnation. D. But, is there any way when I work with people that I can tell if they are remembering and reliving an actual life or an imprint? P. We ask why you would wish to know? D. Well, it's probably to help prove what I'm trying to prove. I laughed inwardly, because it boiled down to, what am I trying to prove anyhow? He seemed to read my mind. P. And what are you trying to prove? I shook my head and laughed in bewilderment. That's a good question. 72. The Keeper of the Garden. P. We will shortly show that you will answer your own question. D. Well, trying to prove the reality of reincarnation, because many people don't believe in the concept. By having someone go through a life and being able to prove that that person did exist in that time period, I am trying to verify these things. But if someone was remembering an imprint, would we also be able to verify it? P. That is correct, for the experience was actually lived, even though it was not lived by the vehicle you would be presently speaking to. However, all the information would be the same, as if you had actually been talking to the very soul which had been in that vehicle at that time. Imprints become in reality a part of that soul and are so carried with that soul. D. Would this be an explanation for the theory that sometimes more than one person appears to have lived the same previous lifetime? For instance, several Cleopatras, several Napoleons. Would imprinting take this into consideration? P. Absolutely, for there is no. He had difficulty finding the right word, proprietorship to these imprints. They are open to all. And so it becomes useless to try to pinpoint who was actually that person, for it is meaningless. I have never had this happen, but it is one of the arguments presented by skeptics. D. This is one of the arguments people have against reincarnation. They say if he finds so many people with the same lives, then it can't be true. P. They are being challenged to widen their scope of knowledge. They are given facts which contradict their short-sighted beliefs and are so challenged to expand their awareness. D. Then it doesn't matter if someone was the actual Cleopatra or whatever. We still have access to the information of their life. P. It can be verified as easily with the actual soul or with one of many hundred others who experience the same imprint. It makes no difference. D. But would different people perhaps perceive the imprint in a different way? If one person was questioned who had the life as Cleopatra, and another having the same life, would their concept possibly be different? P. A very good question. We would say that human experience is like a filter and colors these perceptions which pass through it. So if an experience in that Cleopatra incarnation was found, imprinting, 73, objectionable to the conscious of the person relating that, it would either be deleted or changed in order to present it in such a manner as to not cause the disruption of the entity. That sounds like self-editing. Could this then explain errors that sometimes crop up? Wouldn't this be similar to the way people understand and use research for their own purposes and to prove their own various points of view? D. It would nonetheless be true, it would be just different ways of looking at it. P. That is correct. It would be presented in the most accurate portrait possible, but also in the most comfortable one. Lives, two lives apparently. D. Would this also explain the question of parallel occurring at the same time or overlap in each other? P. Yes, this is how the paradox or the contradiction arises about parallel lives. It is simply a matter of acquiring societal experiences, law, regulations, customs, in order to carry out effectively in one's incarnation. D. Then it doesn't really matter if it can be proved or not. D. does it? P. Exactly. What is the point? One could go for millennia in tracing one's past lives, quote, unquote, and in this respect, it would be totally useless. However, there is much that can be learned from these recalls. Not only from a personal point of view for the regressee but for those who read and hear of this. Much knowledge can be shared so there is much use for everyone. D. By reliving past lives, some people receive a lot of benefit in their personal lives, such as understanding personal relationships with others. P. Yes, that is true. D. How is it decided what imprints you are going to have or someone else is going to have? A certain imprint chosen for certain individuals? P. The imprint is determined by what the incarnation's goals are to be. For example, if one were to become a leader, a president, for example, one might have imprints from various levels of leaders from tribal leaders on up through possibly past presidential leaders, maybe a mayor, maybe a leader of thieves. If the emphasis is on leading, many imprints of a leading nature could be used so that the entity is familiar with the aspect of or the idea of what their job of leading is. There is also the secondary and even tertiary advantage of learning humility, patience, fun and entertainment. All of the multitudes of experiences are in these imprints. The 74, the keepers of the garden method of imprinting is beyond me. The effect is to experience multiple lives, maybe simultaneously, maybe serially. But the effect is to learn lessons from other people's experiences. The lessons are shared. The experiences each of us are having in this lifetime now will be available at the end of these lifetimes to be imprinted for use by anyone who would have a use for them. It's simply borrowing books from a library if you would consider each life a book and reading and understanding it instantly. Arayo saying then that the energy of life is as though stored in a book and placed in a library and is available to be imprinted into other people's lives if they so desire to use that information? That is accurate. There is not a limitation on how many can use one particular life. Thousands of people could imprint the same experience simultaneously. So it would be possible for them to regress more than one person to a particular life if it just so happened that the imprint was available to both individuals. This is true. The imprints are chosen before the incarnation. There is a method which is far too complex to understand. But you can say that there is a computer. A master computer which has access to all the lives, everyone previous. And so the information is fed in of what is to be expected of this life and the appropriate imprints are then selected and overlaid. There is a hierarchy of spirits whose job it is to do this. A council which oversees this. They assist the soul. This computer or council is given all the information regarding the mission and the past experiences of the vehicles with which to draw from. And so there is the choosing between that previous lifetime which has been deposited into the records and a match between that which pertains and the experience which is about to begin. All memory, all thoughts, all senses, everything that a real existing life would have is there intact. It is a hologram, a three-dimensional summation of that lifetime. All experiences, remembrances, emotions are imprinted into that soul and become a part of that soul. This information is then carried after the incarnation is over and is a gift from having lived in this realm of existence and so then becomes part of the permanent record of the soul. Wouldn't it be proper to say the imprint is like a pattern? Would that be another word? That you pick these patterns and use them to try to pattern your life after. D. P. D. P. D. Imprinting. 75. P. That could be used. D. I just had an interest in Judea. It is kind of like doing research in a library, isn't it? P. Yes. You are given books on many subjects and with that knowledge in hand you carry forth. D. But when a person really lives a life they gain much from the day-to-day experience of living that life. Would they gain the same value, so to speak, from the imprint? P. You speak from a karmic point of view and we would say this is not accurate. For the imprint simply gives reference from which to draw on. It does not assist in working off any karma. It simply is an added tool with which to work off karma. Were everyone to receive imprints then there would be a standstill in which no one would be experiencing true lives. And there would be nothing, eventually, relative to imprint from. So there is or must be real lives being lived with which to add to this record library. D. Yes, after a while the soul would prefer the short to the actual experience. P. For some souls the shortcuts are appropriate, for others they are not. For this vehicle is now living a lifetime which is appropriate. It could be said that he could have simply waited for someone else to have experienced an incarnation at this time and then received that imprint, could it not? However, the actual experience would not have been learned. The free will of the soul is here, in that the imprint is made by the free will of the soul and not someone else's free will. All relative information is given into this computer and those appropriate incarnations are then given for imprinting. The imprints are available from this source but the individual makes the final decision. The soul has the power to reject if he finds an imprint which is not acceptable to him, for whatever reason. If he simply decides to use his authority to say, I do not wish to have that one, then so be it. D. This is causing me a little confusion. Are you saying then that there is no as such thing as reincarnation we know it? P. Let me say, there is the progression from body to body. There is also the imprints. Someone may have lived actually five lives, but yet have the experience of 500. It's a combination of effects. D. In other words, that is information you have at birth and it's utilized by you during your life. P. The imprints are complete at the time of birth. But extra imprints are also available whenever necessary. This would be, 76, the keepers of the garden similar to packing luggage for a trip and finding during the trip that one has forgotten something. And so, there are stores along the way. Are you familiar with map overlays? For example, you might have the physical boundaries of the United States with no political boundaries such as states or counties, but these would be on transparencies. Each transparency is then laid down in succession and a complete picture is given. This could be used as an analogy to imprints. The imprints may be overlaid in many different ways, one being in a dream or a physical experience of some sort. A traumatic experience such as a death in the family or a loss of one's job or any time where one is open from within by some experience, be it joyous or grievous or anywhere in between, the opening of oneself is the key here. And that imprint which is necessary will be neatly fitted in, with no notice whatsoever by the entity. But the fact is you can also actually live many lives without ever having an imprint. Imprints are simply aids. They are not necessary for everyone, but they are absolutely imperative for star people. Apparently Phil's subconscious was using another protective device when I first began working with him. It allowed the imprints to come forth first in regression so that Phil would not learn of his otherworldly connections until he was ready to accept and understand them. If I had not continued to work with him, the stories of his lives on other planets would never have surfaced. This can also be said of other subjects. There would be no way for me to know, and they themselves certainly would not know that we were dealing with star people. It was a very unique protection device. I have observed this while working with other subjects. The best information only came after working for a long period of time. Rapport must be established in order for the subject to release it. This work demands much patience. If I had tired and given up too soon, I would never have received any of the stories I have written about in my books. D. Do the star people or the other extraterrestrial people ever come to Earth without being born as a spirit into a body? I mean, do they ever come to Earth and manufacture or assimilate a body in order to mix with the people? P. That is correct. It has been accomplished many times and will be again. It is a very simple matter of assimilation of Earth energies to represent that which is desired to be seen. No great task. 77D, would it be a real solid body or just a visual body? P. It would have aspects of both. It would not be as dense as an actual physical body for it would be sustained by mental energies. D. Why would they do this? P. This would be in order to impart some special message, perhaps to some special individuals or to someone who is actively seeking to commune with these people. A. D. Would they ever assimilate body and stay on Earth for a while? P. If it were necessary it could be done indefinitely. There would be no time delineation on this. The time spent would be determined by the mission undertaken. D. I see. We've heard stories that maybe people could be living among us and actually not be humans, so to speak. P. It is entirely possible. D. A thesa people who come and assimilate bodies and live among us of any danger to the human race? P. They are of as much danger as the human race is to itself. They're even less so, for they are here to help and assist. Their mission is simply one of enlightenment, and if this is not considered help, then there is no help for the race. D. Is there any way that we can recognize Estar people? P. We would not wish to have some distinguishing characteristic published, for there is none. In fact, they are as real and flesh and blood as any other human. There are clues which would be taken as an indicator. However, this, we feel, would be inappropriate to give out, for it would create a witch hunt atmosphere and would invade the privacy of those who have not yet realized their heritage. It would cause them much concern or grief unnecessarily. This is true. There must be many people out there who, like Phil, have no indication that they are originally from the stars. P. For if an individual looking about for such people were of the mind to be prosecutorial in nature, he would have himself a witch hunt, and we wish to have no part of this. We would not encourage baiting individuals with this information that they may pursue some deviate desire of their own at someone else's expense. They would see them as aliens and not as humans. Any individual who now walks the earth has been given the right to do so. 78. The Keeper of the Garden. D. Well, we are conditioned by our movies and to that anything alien must be bad. P. That is exactly right. You are conditioned. It is not fact, it is simply conditioning. We would feel that it would be most appropriate to express in your book why you did not include information about distinguishing these people and bring this aspect to light. For many would not even consider this. There are those, as we said, who would love nothing more than to find someone to hunt, human bounty, so to say. There are laws against things such as segregation and open racism, etc. However, are no laws at this time protecting star people, and these would be open game, so to say. There is that mentality. D. Well, these people who come and assimilate bodies and live among yous for a while, they wouldn't have emotions like us, would they? Or they wouldn't have the imprint knowledge? P. We are not speaking of assimilations here, we are speaking of regular star persons. They would have the imprint knowledge of what emotions are and how to deal with them. That is exactly why there are imprints. We would say as to the assimilations, this is another matter. These are not of the imprint type material. These are special individuals who have studied the human race to the extent that they feel very comfortable and can mingle without apparent discern by those around them. D. But they don't have any emotions to fall back on. They just have their observations. P. We would disagree with this, for they are very human and can stomp and snort just like the best of us. D. I believe that is what humans think, that aliens would not have emotions but would be more or less like robots. This idea is what frightens people. P. They would be most pleased to observe a gathering of planetary races for a celebration of the new order. For there they would see many emotions, such as crying and laughing and singing and dancing. For these are not strictly earthly experiences. The human being always seems to feel everything they do is entirely original. This is, in part, what is meant by universal brotherhood, in that even emotions are shared by the universe and are not simply a part of human experience. For there is joy throughout the universe. There is sorrow throughout the universe. There is anger throughout the universe. There is fear throughout the universe. However, these are differently manifested in these imprinting. 79. D. P. D. P. D. P. Different realms. The human equivalent of anger and fear is black. This translated to other vibrational frequencies is not equivalent, for in this respect the earth is unexcelled. Mankind has been in the chains of fear for too long, and it is now time to break the chains of that bondage and release man to accept his own responsibility and to become a universal brother. For were this bondage released to the general population of the universe, this fear would spread. So you are contained in your backwash to deal with this fear in your own way. When you have contained and dealt with this fear on your own little planet, then you will be allowed to wander the universe and meet other civilizations who have never been bondaged by this fear. For fear is contagious, and we wish not to cause fear among these delicate creatures who would be devastated by a mere thought of fear, which they have never experienced in your terms. For they are truly full of faith and have no need for your type of fear. Fear is strictly a human trait. It is at this point on this planet, a disease. It is a quarantine disease which keeps you in your own little corner of the universe. It is not a disease in other areas. There is the overuse and misuse of all energies, or the possibility of such, and this is one example of the misuse of the fear energy on this planet. It is destructive and is not constructive. Therefore, it is misused. It would be difficult to find a proper analogy for this, because it would be impossible to allow you to understand fear in a constructive manner. When this disease has been conquered, then the gates will be opened and you will be allowed to visit other planets and so forth. How long have these beings been coming to our planet? There have been occasional appearances throughout the Earth's history. There have always been visitations by those who never incarnated but visited, and there is a distinct difference. The visit could last a day or it could last years, but would never be an incarnation. The beings who are incarnated are more recent. Their major influx was recently started in the last several decades. Then is the theory true that people from other planets came and influenced our ancestors to learn new things and better their lives? The fact is that the human race would have never evolved. There would be no such human race, were it not for visitors. This was from the beginning of the human race and before. Chapter 9. Death in a Needle. After this imprinting session I was confused. I had been given a great deal of unusual material to try to absorb, digest and understand. I would have to re-evaluate my entire line of thinking and see how this fit into the information given to me by hundreds of others. It is a shock to have your belief structure threatened, but I realized you must be flexible, for we truly don't know it all. We are probably lucky if we can even understand the tip of the iceberg. By clinging to the theories I was comfortable with, I knew I would become as prejudiced as certain religious dogmatics who insist that their way is the only way. To maintain an open mind is extremely difficult, but it is the only way to search for ultimate knowledge. Phil also sat in deep thought, because he remembered a lot of what he said during a session. I did not have to try to explain this to him. I doubt if I could have at that time anyway. After several minutes of reflection, he said, "You know, I think for the first time I'm beginning to understand many things that have happened in my life. I don't have it all yet, but a lot of it is beginning to make sense. This is an explanation I would never have thought of in a million years." I told him that was the important thing. If he got something out of a session that would help him, no matter how weird it sounded to somebody else. Hypnotic regression is an extremely personal and private thing. He decided to confide in me and tell me some of his strange experiences that few people knew of, experiences that had no rational explanation till now. When I work with a subject over a long period of time, a personal relationship naturally develops, otherwise we would not have such access to the subconscious. I usually become a mother confessor, a death in a needle type of image, a listener, a sounding board for them to bounce off of. I never pry or ask questions about their private lives. I also never judge them. Whatever occurs outside of our working relationship is none of my business. Maybe this is all part of the trust and rapport that gradually builds between the subject and myself. But over the course of time they often do confide in me, mostly because they know it will go no further, and it often helps explain things in our work that would be confusing. These confidences are usually spontaneous when they occur. Often they are triggered by an especially revealing session. Phil spoke of his growing up years when his closest friend was his twin brother, Paul. He was aware that identical twins usually are supposed to have some kind of psychic bond, but he never felt anything out of the ordinary. There was the natural competition for the attention of his father, in which his brother Paul excelled. The twins had totally different interests. Paul was athletic and interested in sports and all types of outdoor activities such as hunting and fishing, which were the same interests as their father. Phil was the exact opposite, more introverted and interested in books, reading and mental activities. This may have been the origin of the out-of-place feeling.